Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson, and again today we invite you out to join us. We're here at North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 225 Callahan Drive, as it's just, again, such an impressive facility in itself, but a remarkable selection, so many great deals. Believe me, you will not believe the options you have when you come look for your next vehicle here at North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 225 Callahan Drive. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, as it's always fun when we get to catch up with the vice president in charge of broadcasting for the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith, as he joins us now. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you guys?
Doing quite well. And whether it be the Tannehill finger roll or just the remarkable day for Derrick Henry and then getting across the finish line with a win, how enjoyable was it just to see the Titans get the job done against the Raiders Sunday?
I got to tell you, about 3:30 Central time on Sunday, I was so tired I didn't know what had hit me. It took everything this team had. There was a lot of work involved and a lot of good game planning and trying to figure out exactly how they were going to push it across the finish line, because they were playing a Raiders team in a very similar position to what the Titans were, and they just, you know, in the end, the big thing is you just got to get out of there with a victory. You're just saying, we have to finish this deal and somehow be 1-2. And that's what they did. You know, they were able to do what needed to be done to get out. And, you know, now they move forward with a division game. But, I mean, this is a team that is weakened by injuries at two or three different points. And when I say that, I mean, I know everybody's got injuries in every level of football. But when you're down three nickelbacks in the secondary, when you're down your starting left tackle, when you don't have your top three edge rushers, you know, that's the thing that's so difficult. What you hope is that when you get injuries, you lose a safety here and a tight end here and a running back here. You know what I'm saying? The injuries are spread out. When it hits specific position groups, it's brutal. I don't think I have ever done a Titans game where they have had four tight ends active and a fullback active. I mean, that's just unheard of in your 48 men who are active, because you can't play those players enough to make it worth your while, but you have to keep them up because, A, that's all you have healthy, and, B, they all have to play special teams because you don't have people at other positions. It was a little crazy. When we were visiting with Mike Vrabel before the game, we were looking at one another like, now you're going to do what? because I mean, you've been here a couple times, and I guess fortunately or unfortunately for Vrabel, he's done that, John. And when you have done that, you realize, you know, you kind of have to be like an Eagle Scout and just, you know, make something out of nothing. And that was what they did.
Well, it certainly was something to see the Titans get off to the start they did, and I know it was almost like a page out of yesterday's paper with how well Derrick Henry moved the ball and just helped the Titans score on their first few possessions.
He did a great job, and he's really running well right now. I think that's the big storyline to come out of this that you're excited about, is he had 20 carries for 85 yards, but this was a game where there were not 85 yards there. He got that number up to 85 yards because he was making good cuts. He was moving the pile, things of that sort. They also threw him the ball five times for 58 yards. And so getting him those five extra touches, finding a way to make them tackle him in different ways in space, pretty good thing overall, I think, for the Titans. Very, very pleased with how they executed in the first half. 275 yards and 24 points at halftime, you'd take it every single week.
Mike, I know the Titans have had to play at different points without Taylor Lewan before, but this group, this team moving forward long-term in the season, what do you expect from that O-line without Lewan?
Well, it's not good. I mean, he's a guy making a lot of money because he's been a successful player in this league. And, you know, Dennis Daly is taking his place, Vince. And, I mean, Dennis Daly is not Taylor Lewan. The other problem is the guy playing next to Lewan, the left guard Brewer, Aaron Brewer, he's new. And then your right tackle is a rookie, Nicholas Petit-Frere. So this group hasn't been together. Daly, the Titans obtained him from Carolina on August 30th. He's been here less than a month. Not only does the talent level fall off, but the continuity and the experience part falls off as well. So there, he'll fight, and he fought last week. And Petit-Frere and Brewer do the same thing. They are fighting, and that's what you want to see. If you don't know what to do, hit somebody. You know, and that's what, you know, that's what both of, or all three of these players have done so far. So not bad, but we're not as good as we're going to be. You know, the whole Lewan thing is a bad, bad blow for this team.
I'm not sure if the guys asked you this when it happened, but you were high on Theo Jackson. I thought that there was a spot for him somewhere there with the Titans, and I know he didn't make the 53. What do you think you saw there in Theo Jackson and why he didn't make that original 53?
Because he was out for 10 days in training camp, and when he missed that time, he got behind. The thing that you're going to have to do here early in training camp is you're going to have – you want more experience. And I think they'd like for Theo to learn the nickel. You know, to learn how to play nickelback in this league. He just needs some more seasoning. John Robinson has made it very clear that he expects Theo Jackson on our roster at some point before this year is out. But he has made that kind of progress. But, he's in a position that I think he's learning behind Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. He's in a good room. I think he's going to help us. It's just right now, you know, if we had some of these injuries in November, it would be one thing, Vince, because you would have some younger guys like him who would have gotten a lot of work, right? Gotten a lot of practice and a lot of time and been in meeting rooms for 8 to 10 weeks. But this happening in September, those young guys really, in most cases, aren't ready to step up in terms of the responsibility part of it. They, you know, physically it's not a problem, but the responsibility part of it is a bigger deal because one man out of position and you've got a 70-yard touchdown.
You highlight guys that are now trying to get through and hopefully come back from injury, and you've also got guys that have been rehabbing and trying to get back to 100%. What was it like to see Robert Woods lead the way among Titans receivers with 85 yards?
Pro. Just a pro. Guy did a great job. 4 catches, 85 yards. The 21-yard punt return at the end of the half that set up the field goal. I thought Robert Woods did just an absolutely fantastic job, and he is continuing to get on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, that was part of what I've said on Sports Talk earlier is I thought it was going to take the offense a little while because you have so many new pieces, and you could see – Treylon Burks getting comfortable and Robert Woods getting comfortable and, you know, everybody working with Tannehill and Tannehill getting used to them. And those things are starting to happen. The other thing we had happen too is we got Dontrell Hilliard back out of the backfield. And that's a tremendous option for any quarterback to be able to throw it to somebody with that kind of speed out of the backfield.
John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Our guest joining us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline is Mike Keith.
Mike, was this past weekend in the NFL Exhibit A as to we think we know, but we really don't know in the league?
Sure. I mean, we have 2-3-0 teams, and we have 1-0-3 team, and then everybody else is just in the middle. I mean, here's the breakdown of all of it. Most people think Buffalo is the best team in the league, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not even leading their own division. They're behind Miami in the AFC East. And so it doesn't mean they're not a great team. It just means the battle and the abilities that the different teams have to make things happen is there. And, I mean, listen, if you see a team like the Titans right now, or the Raiders, or, you know, any of the, or the Colts, you know, any of us in the same boat, you're saying, no way that's a Super Bowl team. but it's September. And this time last year, nobody, I promise you, nobody was saying that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to be a Super Bowl team. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Not even Bengals fans. So that's what this league is really all about. It is such a long season in terms of all the twists and turns.
What did you make of Tua leaving the game and what at the time seemed like a head injury, then getting evaluated, coming back, and the way that's all been handled, in your opinion?
I think it's – my sense is if it all stays the same, you know, unless there's some sort of ruling that comes out that something was done wrong, my sense is it was not a head injury. Because if it had been a head – the league steps in so much in head injury situations. Now, Lord help whomever it is if they were covering up a head injury. Because they will go get that person or persons, and it will be an unpleasant conversation all the way around, and it'll be unpleasant for somebody's wallet. But my sense is, just knowing what I know on the surface, that it was much more of an injury to something else. They checked him out for the head. It appeared that it was the head. The head was being evaluated, and they decided that was not it. Because my understanding, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he was ever placed in concussion protocol. And if he was not, then because there is a league observer with that, there are medical people who are involved in that who are not, you know, with the team. You know, they're just objective bystanders, so to speak, for that. So my sense is that probably was not the case, even if it appeared that way.
Yeah, I believe it's been listed as a back injury that he's being treated for this
right.
week between games. And
yeah, and Mike, I mean, I think that's the big go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you finish your thought.
No, I just mean they are – I know there are people who are – oftentimes very suspicious of all of this, but I'm here to tell you there are things that are in place that if they're being violated, people would be in bad, bad trouble. And the Players Association would not put up with it either. You just don't see much of this anymore because of the league involvement in all of it. When it comes to a head injury, it's a very different thing.
It was a very different thing for the Colts. Did not score a point in the loss at Jacksonville. Had a chance to get a win, but finished with a tie at Houston. First home game. They knock off a team that has seemed really invulnerable in September in the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, you guys draw the road trip to Indy this week. What were your thoughts on just that performance by the Colts?
The Colts are very physical, John. I mean, they're really, really physical. And they on defense, it's very hard to run the ball on them. They get a lot of pressure. They play Gus Bradley's defense, which is that old Seattle Seahawks defense, where they always have a lot of guys involved in the run front, and they always have people in position in the back end. So while you can complete some passes on them, it's hard to make big plays and it's hard to score. They'll make you kick a lot of field goals because that's what they're really all about. And I think you saw what they want to be on a week-in, week-out basis. You know, the funny thing is some people see a 20-17 or a 17-13 score with the Colts and they think, well, that doesn't look right because they immediately flash back to Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. That's not what these Colts do. They want to run the ball and they want to hit you in the mouth on defense. It's a very different team in terms of their makeup. I'm not surprised they won this football game. I will say this, though. You know, if Chris Jones doesn't get the penalty for mm-hmm. whatever he said to Matt Ryan, they're probably 0-2-1 right now.
I think you're 100% right. And he was right next to the crew chief. I mean, he was right next to the lead official when he said what he said. So, goodness.
Well, that's what you
Loose
want to
lips
do. That's
sink ships.
Always real smart. Yeah, you want to punch somebody or say something really awful right in front of the referee because that's a sure way to make sure they're going to call it.
For sure. And also another of the AFC South brethren, what do you make of Jacksonville's back-to-back wins? One that was huge in the division when Indy goes there, but then also what they did to the Chargers.
I think they're for real. I really do. I've said it all along. I think they are much better than what people give them credit for. I think their quarterback is the real deal. They've drafted very high for several years in a row. They haven't been very good for several years, and so they have a ton of cap room. They've signed a lot of free agents. If it didn't work out, they got rid of those free agents and brought in more free agents. I think they have a good roster, and they're leading the division right now. And, you know, from how it started, if you didn't know their past, you would be calling them the favorite in the division right now. And understandably so. They've got a nice team. I think they're going to be in it until the end.
Mike, do you like this lower scoring, kind of too deep, keep everything in front of you NFL we're seeing this year?
You know, it's funny because scoring's down 5 points a game overall and passing is down 28 yards per game right now. What's most interesting to me, Vince, has always been the ebb and flow of our league. In the time that I've had a chance to witness it from the vantage point that I have, it's amazing how fads go in and out. You know, there are teams now that actually run the I formation again. We're one of them. And I thought that was outlawed. I really did. The kids out there are going, what is this man lining up right behind the quarterback and then another man lining up behind him? It's like, well, Junior, that's the I formation back in my day. So, things come in and out, you know, so what's going to be the flip back to the other part of it? You know, you talk about analytics. There have been analytics in the NFL as long as I've been a part of it. You know, they've had different things when you line up here or you're here, this tendency's here, all of this. So what's going to happen now is the analytics that have led to better defense, that's going to flip around, and the offenses are going to figure out how to go at the defenses, especially when they see that I formation thing that we've been seeing a lot lately.
Are the Eagles as good or better than you thought they would be going into the season?
Hadn't played anybody. I think everybody jumping up and down about the Eagles is making a bad mistake. That's just my opinion right now. They may be better than I think. But right now, I just don't think we have any idea who they've beaten. And until they get into more of the meat of their schedule, I just don't think we know. I think Miami, in my opinion, for who they've played and beaten, is more for real than what I think at this point of Philadelphia. Let's see. I want to reserve judgment. I think they have a nice club, and I think they potentially could be really good, but, man, the people who are already putting them in the Super Bowl, I think that's a horrible mistake.
And just to remind our listeners, they beat the Lions, Vikings, and Commanders. So those are the three wins that Mike
has. Yeah. The Vikings win's an okay win. You know, I mean, but
yep.
I think the Lions are okay, and I think Washington's probably okay, but they haven't beaten what I would call an elite team yet. They certainly haven't beaten a playoff team from last year. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to demean anybody. I'm just saying let's see something a little deeper.
And Mike, it takes a while before they get to anyone that would be in that category in their schedule,
right?
Pretty light.
Very favorable. But remember, Arizona started last year 7-0.
Yeah.
Very true.
And where did they end up?
Right. What can we look forward to this week on the OTP?
You know, John, we're really enjoying doing the OTP right now. We've had a chance to talk to Matt Taylor, who's the really outstanding voice of the Indianapolis Colts. I think probably one of the better young play-by-play announcers in the country. And get a chance to talk to one of the newer Titans, Joe Schobert. And Joe Schobert's an interesting story. I first met him at the Senior Bowl in 2016 Good linebacker, former Pro Bowler, now on the Titans roster. He may go from not having been in an NFL camp for 5 weeks to starting a game at Indianapolis this Sunday.
Wow.
Well, that's coming up later in the week when we post the next OTP.
All right. Look forward to that. Have a safe trip to Indy. A great call. Good luck to the Titans, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. See you guys.
Sure do appreciate it. Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.